Hallelujah. Well, let's pray and believe God for utterance this morning. Lord, I just can't, I just am just kind of speechless this morning, just thinking about your love and your kindness. And Father, thank you seems so inadequate. And I just want you to know I'm grateful this morning to be here with you and to be in your presence and to be able to share the word to such precious people, Father, that you love so much, Father. They're so dear to me and you as well, Father, and just so thankful for the opportunity. What an honor it is to share the word today. We're thankful for it. And Father, you know what people need to hear and you know what I need to say. And so, Father, speak through me. Make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. Lord, I don't want to bring my own ideas or philosophies or opinions to the table this morning. We just want all word. We want the power of God and demonstration, not enticing words of man's wisdom. So Father, help us this morning. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for boldness. Father, hit bullseyes. And what I mean by that is speak something through me that is just directly into everybody's life that pertains to them. Hit the bullseye of their heart is what I'm trying to say. And Father, we thank you. That's supernatural. And this is your plan, Father, the local church. Father, given the plan and delivering the mail to people every week. And so, Father, we don't go backwards. We don't stay in neutral. We thank you. We're better this morning. We walk out of here blessed. We thank you for more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18 says this. It says, and he said unto them, Jesus talking, said, I beheld or I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. Of course, we've been looking at that word power in the Greek. It really means authority. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all. Everybody say all.
All.
Praise God. All the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, either the Bible is or it isn't, right? Either Jesus stumbled and tripped up and accidentally said something he shouldn't have, or he meant what he said. He said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know that the New Testament was not written in English, it was written in Greek. And they pulled that word all, you know, it says over all the power of the enemy. And they did an extensive study in the Greek on that. I mean, flipped that word upside and down, backwards and forwards, and picked it apart to find out what that word all means. And you know what that word all means? All. Praise the Lord. It means all. Anything that the devil can do, anything that he can cause trouble in your life, the Bible says God's plan was that you would have authority over that. Hallelujah. And that nothing, there it is. You know what the word nothing means? There ain't nothing that you can throw in that word. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. But it comes down to the issue of authority, doesn't it? I give you authority. Because he says, I'm not going to do it for you. He says, your pastor's not going to do it for you. Your spouse is not going to do it for you. The TV minister's not going to do it for you. He said, you making sure that you can tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy and living a life where nothing shall by any means hurt you has everything to do with what you do with authority. We need to learn our authority. And when I say what I'm about to say, I hope you understand, I love people. I love the body of Christ. You know, there's lots of things I don't know that people know way more than me, and then there's lots of things I know that other people don't know. But I know this from being around it and being around other ministers in the churches I grew up in and the churches she grew up in. The topic of the authority of the believer is something that is unknown in the body of Christ as a whole. You know by the way people talk, the way they conduct themselves, the way they act when things show up on their doorstep in the form of trials and tribulations. And you see the way, you know, oh, the devil's been after me, and I mean, I hear it all, you know, and it's this in this way across the board in the body of Christ. And most people don't know anything about the authority of the believer, and it's one of the most important topics. If you're going to be a faith giant and going to be someone that receives the promises of God, you're going to have to know who you are. You have to know who you are in the body of Christ. And then when you realize who you are, you'll stand up and do something about that. Of course, last week, I'm not going to rehash that. If you weren't here, you need to go back to our archives and listen. All you got to do is Google Family Church South Dayton. if you have the internet, and then just when the website comes up, go to media, and there's two options there. You can go to archives or live stream. Live stream would be when we're preaching, and archives would be anything when we're not preaching, and messages from the past. And we have messages all the way back to 2013 on there, just to try to be a blessing to people. But anyways, we talked about last week, we have an adversary, don't we? We know we have that over all the power of the enemy. We wouldn't be given authority if we didn't need to use it. And but it's interesting, isn't it, that I gave you four witnesses last week that this nasty devil that the Bible says is your adversary that we're given authority over, the Bible says that God is not going to do one thing about him. God is not going to do one thing about him. I gave you four witnesses. I gave you four witnesses from heavyweights in the body of Christ. Not lightweights, heavyweights. Jesus is a heavyweight in the body of Christ. Paul was a heavyweight. Peter was a heavyweight. And James was a heavyweight. Jesus said, you cast out devils. Paul said, don't you give place to the devil. Peter said, you resist him, stand steadfast in the faith. And James said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Four places. You know, again, I don't mean this to be mean and cocky. It's just to get the point across. But when people say, oh, God, do something about the devil, you might as well stand there and twiddle your thumbs and sing, twinkle, twinkle, little star. Because that's about as much power as that prayer to heaven is having. It is. It's just as unscriptural to stand there and sing twinkle, twinkle, little stars while you're twiddling your thumbs as it is to stand there and beg for God to do something, because God said, I already did something, and I told you in the Word four places that you need to do something about the devil. And so many times people are just sitting back on their duff waiting for God to do something. You got to do something. Stand up and take your authority. My goodness. So we have an adversary. Go to Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Praise God. I know. See, religion will be mad at a message like this and the authority of the believer, because it puts responsibility on the Christian. But it's not promoting a me gospel. Because our authority is all based on the delegated authority that He gave us. Without Him giving it to us, it doesn't matter. So we're not promoting ourselves. We're just doing what He said we could do. Praise God. Without Him, we're nothing anyways. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, it says this. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see, that's the problem with a lot of you. And I mean in the body of Christ as a whole. You're trying to be strong in and of yourself. Yeah. You don't think about it financially. You know, you'll have bills stacked to the ceiling and your paycheck won't meet your needs. And you'll get all in a tizzy and all frustrated and down and be grumpy and pull back on your giving and stop being faithful and be angry and upset. Well, you're trying to be strong in your ways because you're sitting there thinking, I see my paycheck, I see the bills, I can't do this on my own. Well, whoever asked you to do it on your own? The Bible that I read, I think we have the same ones. I wonder sometimes. Says, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Never says a thing about my paycheck. Never says a thing about the American economy. Never says a thing about the stock market. Never says a thing about the oil prices. But see, that's where people's faith lies. When things are going good financially, and when the paycheck's coming in, and when they're getting raises, and when the stock market and the financial analysts are telling us it's good, we're all happy and good. Well, then we know where your faith is. Yeah, that's right. My faith, see, be strong in the power of the Lord, and be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Same when it comes to healing. You get a doctor's report, and it just rocks your world. Wait a minute, we have a healer. He said in Psalms 100 and verse 3, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Have you forgotten that not only does He forgive all your iniquities, He heals all your diseases? Now, either the Bible is or it isn't. I didn't twist that around and change that those wordings. It's what it is. I'll heal all your diseases. But see, you're trying to be strong in you and in the medicine, that there's no answer for what you have. There's no cure for what you have, is what they're telling you. And I'm not telling you that they're wrong, naturally. But we have a higher authority. We have a higher answer. We have a higher word. But where's your faith? Where's your faith? Is it in the power of the Lord and His might? Well, if it isn't, well, anyways, let's go on. That was a little rabbit trail if you didn't notice that. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able, or finally, Lord, brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So there again tells you, you don't have to be taken out by him. That's another, that verse goes along with Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 that says that you have authority over all the power of the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That verse is telling you, listen, if you'll do it God's way, you'll stand against the wiles of the devil. You'll stand strong. You won't be toppled. You won't be taken out. Yeah. I know this is different, isn't it? Praise the Lord, but it's true. And he goes on to say in verse 12, now notice this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now that, you need to understand that your problem's not in the natural realm. It manifests itself in the natural realm, but that's not your struggle. Your struggle's not your spouse. Your struggle's not your boss. Your struggle's not the natural realm. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But, now what I'm going to show you, and I don't have time to teach on this, this is going to now show you the devil's kingdom in stages. From the least bit of power and authority up until the strongest. He says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against... Now, there's four classes of the devil's kingdoms, and this is what you're going to see. And again, they start from weakest to strongest. Principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And someday, when the Lord allows me to do it, I'll teach on that. And we'll teach on the four layers there and show you what the Word says about them. But that's your struggle. That's where it is. It's a spiritual struggle. Remember, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. So we know that our problem is in the spiritual realm with someone called the devil. That's why things are so tough at times, because we're living in a fallen world run by somebody who hates your guts, who wants to take you out. Praise God. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. The devil needs our cooperation to do it. He can't just do it on his own. I'm so thankful for that. And so if we have an enemy, we looked at last week, God's not going to do a thing about him. He's going to wait for you to do something. And if you don't want to do anything about it, God will be fine with you letting you just do nothing about the devil and having him run over you. He's not going to force you. God's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to obey. He's not going to force you to use your authority. He's not going to force you to do anything, right? What do we always say? If God could force you to do anything, he'd force you to tithe. He'd force you to come to church. But he doesn't do it that way. He doesn't force people to do things. He'll let you be poor, he'll let you be sick, he'll let you be depressed, he'll let you be defeated. But why would we want to do that? Let's just take our authority, praise God. So we're going against the devil. We're going against somebody that the Bible says is not going, that God's not going to do a lick about, that he already did everything he needs to do, and now the authority and the dominion is with us. Well, let's look at Colossians chapter 2. I want to take a look at him today. You know, in the circles I grew up in, the devil was a nasty word in the sense that you don't want to talk about him. I don't want to stir him up. Oh, don't talk too much about the devil. You might get him after you. Well, I say, bring it on. I say, come on, devil. Come on back so I can smack you up a little bit more. So I can give you some more black eyes and send you running with the tail between your legs. He's not somebody I'm afraid of. He doesn't have this magical, mystical power over people. Right. He needs your help. Yeah. He needs you to open the door. Yeah. You know, the Wizard of Oz was a scary dude. Remember the lion?
Yeah.
The lion with the king of the forest, right? You remember that? Pretty good, huh? Yeah. Not bad. It's not one of my best impressions. But remember, he went flying out through that window when the wizard said something. You remember that?
Yeah.
And they were so afraid of him. And then he got unveiled for who he was, and they just said, him? That's what we're afraid of. That's the way it is with the devil. We're going to unveil him and unmask him today. And you're going to find out, wow, this is my opponent. All right. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Praise God. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Aren't you glad there's not anything that hasn't been covered by the blood? I don't care how bad the devil tells you you've done it, how bad you've messed up, it's all washed in the blood. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, verse 15, and having spoiled Principalities and powers. Doesn't that sound like the verse we just read in Ephesians?
Yeah.
That our fight's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. He says Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. What's it talking about? The devil's kingdom. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So the Bible says that Jesus triumphed over principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. One translation says that he paraded the devil and his cohorts through the streets of hell and made an example out of them. Now, another thing I'm going to tease you with, you know, we talked about the four levels of the devil's kingdom. Someday, when the Lord permits, I just try to follow the Holy Ghost on what to preach, but when he allows it, or if you want more information, I'd be glad to sit down with you, is that Jesus went to hell. After he died on the cross, he went to hell for 3 days. You know, a lot of people say, that's blasphemy. Well, I love what Billy Graham said one day. He said, if Jesus would have died just a natural death, it wouldn't have paid the price, because then anybody could have died. It was the spiritual act of the Lamb of God that was perfect, that took our sin, that God turned his back on him, and Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was the first time in eternity the Father had turned his back on the Son, and Jesus had been just placed with the sin of the world on him. And he had to pay the penalty for that. Just like everybody that has sinned, that dies with unforgiven sin in the sense, now don't get me wrong, if you're saved and you sinned and then died, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not being saved. But Jesus had to pay the penalty for that. Do you understand what I mean by that? I don't want you to think that, oh man, I gotta make sure that, you know, right before I die, everything's forgiven. No, that's not what I mean. It's good to be in forgiveness and you should repent as fast, but I don't want anyone to take that wrong. Like, oh my gosh, I know somebody that they got in a fight before they died. And no, that's not, we're talking about being born again. He had to pay the penalty so that we could be saved. Well, he went to hell, and I don't have time to teach on that, but there's several places in the Word that show us that he descended. It says, what does it say in Ephesians 4? He that ascended is he that also descended into the lower parts of the earth. That's just one of the places. But anyways, when he was down there for 3 days, it looked like the devil had won, didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't it look like the devil had won?
Yeah.
Jesus is being whooped on in hell. The disciples and everybody on this end are just down and out. But it wasn't over yet. Let me just say something to you on a little bit of a side note here. If you got yourself in here today and you're sitting in one of those seats and your heart's still a-thumping, let me just say something to you. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. It looks bad sometimes, and it looks death like death, but there is resurrection power available to the Christian. It might look bad in your relationship, in your finances, in your body, but you're here today, which means you still have the ability to stand your ground and to fight, praise God. It looked bad, but Jesus, he finally, after 3 days, he said, enough's enough. I paid the penalty. I'm the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And he said, enough's enough. And what he did, and if you know anything about old times, is when one king or one kingdom would go and defeat another kingdom, they would bring back the king or the leaders, and they would have a parade in their town and parade them through the streets to show them, look what we did. Look what we got. Look what we captured. That's what Jesus did to the devil. Isn't that awesome? Paraded him. He made a show of them. Our Jesus is a show-off. When it comes to the devil, that's okay. You can boast about kicking his tail. He paraded. Can you imagine that parade down the streets of hell? Jesus saying, I win. Here's this guy you think so good. He's mine. I got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Glory to God. Made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now let's take a look at this verse more depth. That word spoiled there, listen to what it means in the Greek. It means to disarm. It means to strip. And it means to paralyze. Praise God. The adversary that has given you such a hard time, that is that you wrestle against, the Bible says, is an adversary that's been spoiled, stripped, disarmed, and paralyzed. Abby, by the two-year-old, she'll be two at the end of this month. When she eats dinner, we have this little bench and this little table for the kids, and she'll sit on it, but she'll sit with her legs under her butt. She started doing that. Well, she didn't realize that causes your foot to fall asleep. And so she stands up and stumbles, and she just freezes, won't move. She doesn't know what the heck's going on down there. You know how it tingles and stuff? I mean, for a two-year-old, that's got to be wild. But you know, it's almost like you ever done that? Where you try to get up and you can't go. Like you're telling your leg, do something, and it's just not working. You're kind of temporarily paralyzed in that position. That's what the devil is. He's been paralyzed. One translation said he's been put to naught. Praise God. Let me ask you a question real quick. How does it change things? Well, just think about this example. Let's say you were in the military and a crisis broke out. And, you know, you were getting ready to have to go to war against a worthy opponent. You know, somebody that has all of the latest technology, has a lot of the newer age weapons, has a big army. And you know, the term war, especially if you're going to be the one going to it, I'm sure just brings up all sorts of emotions. You know, I'm sure there's fear and anxiety and the unknown and all these different things. But how would it change things if there was a declaration of war made and you go into the briefing room with the general and y'all sit around the table and he's getting ready to talk to you about the enemy and talk to you about the strategy and the plan. And the first thing out of his mouth says, okay, this is who we're going to war with. I just want you to know they have no guns. They have no ammunition. They have no planes. They have no tanks. All they have are just people, and they're going to come after us. Do you know how the mood in that room would change? You would know that is a whipped army. We are going to go in there and smoke them. Praise God. There'd be no fear anymore, no anxiety. Wait a minute. You're telling me we're going against an enemy with no weapons? The general said, yep, that's right. Let's get all our best troops. Let's get the SEALs in. Let's get all our fighter jets going. Oh, it would be celebration before they even went into the battle.
Yeah, that's right.
Because when you're going into a battle against a defeated foe already, you win.
Yeah.
And the only way that the military would lose that is if they went there, chose not to fire their weapons, chose not to bring in the heavy guns, and just laid down and let them take them captive and to kill them, right? That'd be the only way.
Yeah.
Against a defeated foe. The only way America would lose a war against somebody that didn't have any weapons is if America let them win.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, is that true?
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says that your enemy has been spoiled, stripped, disarmed, paralyzed, and put to naught. It's the same exact thing. The same exact thing. He's defeated. He's defeated. He has no power over you. How does that change things? Glory to God. Go to Colossians 1 and verse 12. If you don't feel like that pertains to you, well, I'm going to show you it absolutely does. Colossians 1 and verse 12. See, when you realize, okay, we have an adversary. God said he's not going to do anything about it. The devil's nasty, he steals, kills, and destroys. But now I find out he doesn't have anything to use against me. That he needs my cooperation. Changes everything.
Yeah.
Changes everything. Colossians 1 and verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now look at this in verse 13. Who has delivered, one translation says rescued, who has delivered us or rescued us from what? The power of darkness. Do you see that? Because you might say, well, great, Jesus stripped him, spoiled him, that's good for Jesus. No, but you see, also what Jesus did through him when you get born again is he's translated you from the kingdom of darkness or the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Do you see that there? You are not subject to what the devil can do anymore if you don't want to be. And that's the key. If you don't want to be. I have a friend, his name's Randy, his wife's name's Karini, and she's from Brazil. And Pastor Tim went over to Brazil, and Karini talks about Brazil, and, you know, it's definitely not as developed as America, and it's a lot, you know, there's a lot more poverty there, a lot more crime and different things like that, and, you know, it's just some places it's not the best place to live, and it's way more oppressive than America is what I'm trying to say. And she would tell us stories about that, and well, over time, she became a legal citizen of the United States. She now is allowed to be here, doesn't have to go back, doesn't have to do anything, visas and different things like that. She is allowed to stay here for the rest of her natural life. And the only way, in America, by far, she has said, you know, I'm so thankful for America, you know, way better than, you know, she still loves some parts of it, but as a whole, you know, she just loves this country and what it offered her and gave her. You know, she only has to go to that oppression, back to that oppression, and that poverty, and that fear over there, if she chooses to do so. If she chooses to go back there and live, that's up to her, but she doesn't have to anymore. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. You don't have to be subject any longer to what the devil's doing to you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Oh, I don't know if I want to just go there, but I just sensed a big wave of boldness coming on me. I am amazed at why people want to just sit around and let this stuff happen to them. It amazes me. Why light bulbs ought to be going off? People ought to be just, oh my gosh, I just get so fired up. I just don't understand why people are so casual with this stuff. This is life and death stuff. And I'm not exaggerating. Life and death stuff. Knowing who you are. Knowing, I'll tell you what, a sickness comes on your body. If you don't know that you don't have to have it, you'll let it stay there and it could kill you. Absolutely. You don't know that you have divine protection and you're going into places or going to certain, but you don't know that you have it over your children. It could kill them. Absolutely. Life or death stuff. And people are so casual about this stuff. Maybe it's because people aren't telling you how important it is. It's important to know this. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we have a defeated enemy who's been stripped, has no power. We've been translated out of that anymore, out of there. God has just set the table up for us to win. Do you see that there? He has just set it up for us to be successful. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise God. You know, I told you my story about getting that job at the after-school program that naturally I had no business getting. It was all God. It was strategic for future things and different things like that. And I told you that story of how I had staff members under me and I had 100 kids and parents. I mean, I was in charge of kids who had parents that had way more degrees than me. I had a couple of staff members that had master's degrees that were under me that had to listen to me. They knew, they're way smarter than I. There was one lady that was in her 70s. She knew way more about child care and taking care of kids than I did. And different people that would come into the program that I would hire for special things, way more qualified. But you know, every single one of them had to listen to me. And the reason being, not because I knew more than them, not because I had more degrees and more education. It was all because I had the position. Right?
Yes, that's right.
I was the boss. I had the position of after school coordinator. So it didn't matter what they had. Didn't matter what they thought. All mattered is that I was in the position, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So position means something, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, then, if position means something, let's look at our position in Christ compared to the position of where our enemy is. Hallelujah. This ought to change the way people talk. This ought to change the big bad devil that's after you. Not so big and bad after all. Oh, just so you know, the devil's having a hernia right now. We're just whipping him up and down. You know, lock the door, don't let him out. Let's just keep smacking him up here this morning. Ephesians 1 and verse 15 says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, look what the next two words say, cease not. That means he did it consistently. He was constantly doing this. Well, if Paul, the apostle, was constantly doing something, it was for a reason. It was because it must have been important, right?
Yes.
Or he wouldn't have done it all, whatever he was doing. He would have done something better with his time. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Notice it doesn't stop with a period there because it's not the end of it. You see, the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. Men put it into chapter and verse. So Paul's not done with his thought. He says, I make mention of you in my prayers. Well, now he's going to go on and he's going to tell us what he's praying for. And remember, what he's praying for, he says, I cease not to do it. I do it constantly. So what he's saying is, what I'm praying for you is important that you get it. Or I wouldn't constantly be pressing into heaven to get it for you. He says that the God, now look at what he's praying for people. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He's saying, I want you to see things like you've never seen them before, right? Doesn't the Bible say my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? He's saying, I'm praying that you'd have knowledge. He knew. Knowledge started everything. Now look at what he says in verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding, not the eyes of your natural body, but your understanding, your spiritual eyes is what he's talking about. That the eyes of your spirit will be enlightened. That you would know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. Now here we go, verse 19. Now remember, he's praying that people would know this. If he's praying that people would know this, it means that it's available to everybody. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward or towards us? Wait a second. I thought as Christians, we need to hang on for dear life, just scraping by, just getting drugged through the mud, and hopefully we'll make it someday to the sweet by and by where everything then will be sweet and settled and everything will be peaceful. No, the Bible says Paul, see, that's the thing. People don't know this. Paul recognized it, so he's praying that they would. He said, I want you to know the exceeding greatness of his power toward you who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And then the next verse says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Praise God. He's saying that same power that I used to raise Jesus from the throes of the enemy. He was in the grasp of hell. He says, I want you to know that same power is available to you. Yeah. And what is the exceeding greatest power towards us? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set Jesus at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now look at where Jesus is seated. Far above. Well, that's telling you it's not just a little bit, but even if it was just a little bit above, it'd still be above. But he says far above. Well, far above what? Here's those words again. Principality, power. Sounds like the devil's kingdom again, doesn't it? Yeah. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. He says, far above principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name. Everybody say every.
Every.
Let me ask you a question. Is poverty a name?
Yes.
Is cancer a name?
Yes.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Is depression a name?
Yes.
Is fear a name?
Yes.
Jesus has been set above all names. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So the Bible says that Jesus is seated far above the devil's kingdom. Far above. In every name that is named. Well, what is that showing you? It's denoting Jesus is in a place of authority, isn't it? I'm far above you, right? A general could say this to a private. I'm far above you. Couldn't he say that and that would be true? That would absolutely be true. I'm far above you. What's he saying? I have way more authority than you. I'm way farther along. I'm in a higher position than you. I can do more to you than you can do to me. Absolutely. That's what the Bible's bringing up. That Jesus, our Jesus, is seated far above. Well, good old Jesus. I'm glad he gets that, right? Praise the Lord. Well, look what it says in verse 22. And has put all things, now remember, he's seated, Jesus, put all things under his feet. Well, we know that if he's far above, then everything else would be under his feet. But why is the Bible pointing that out to us twice? Because it says, and gave him, Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We know, we talk about this as Christians. We are the body of what? Christ. Well, in that body, we know that one specific body part, we know who that is. The head is Jesus. But guess who the arms are? Guess who the legs are? Guess who the torso is and the shoulders and the feet and the hands? They're us, praise God. He's the head of the body, but we're the hands and the feet. So why are you telling me this? Jesus, okay, if light bulbs haven't gone off, I'm going to start pulling some chains, and they're going to start popping it in a second, okay? In the spirit, I'm pulling them off. Jesus has been seated far above the devil. He's the head. You're the body. If the head is seated far above, the body's also seated far above. If all things have been placed under his feet aren't even him. Guess who his feet are? They're you. You're the feet, not him. You're the feet. All things are under your feet. When you realize this stuff, you start to get a little hop in your step.
Amen.
A little shout in your voice.
Yeah.
Frowns turn upside down to smiles. Praise God, they do. When you realize this stuff, that you're the body of Christ. You're seated with Him. What does it say in Ephesians 2 and verse 5? Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Verse 6, and raised us up together. Where? Far above. You are seated with Jesus far above all principality and power. You're the general. The devil's the private. Praise God. You know, one of my favorite things to do, Abby has developed this, I don't even know how to say it, like this barrel roll belly laugh. I don't even know how to, like she gets a laugh and it just, her tone changes, sounds like a little animal or something. I mean, but I love it. It just gets me every time. And one of my favorite things to do to her is to put her on the ground and to step on her little belly and start tickling her. And getting her just a squirming and a moving around. I love doing that to her and she just can't get away. Now, you know, we play a game where if she gets away, you know, she'll come and jump on me and start doing things. And, you know, sometimes she's got little sharp nails sometimes and she don't have mercy. I mean, the way she grabs my nose sometimes, I'm wondering if a piece came off, you know, and she'll poke me in the eye and different things. But, you know, the only way would, in terms of me and Abby, wouldn't you say she's a defeated foe? There's really not much that little girl can do to me unless I let her do that. When she's under my feet like that, I can sit there, I could do that all day long. The only way she could ever harm me is if I let my foot up and she came, I put my hands behind my back and just let her go to town on my face with those little nails. Yeah. That's who the devil is. He's under your feet. Under your feet. Again, showing you a place of authority over him. Say, what does all this mean? It means everything. When you understand the authority that you have, it does something to your faith level. It causes you to take a stand and to not put up with things anymore. To not just allow things to be okay. That it's not just the way it is. It allows you to keep your foot on the gas and go forward with Him. That revelation of who you are in Christ and what God did for you. My goodness. You need to get this stuff in your heart so solidified that you know it like the back of your hand. That when things come up, opposition to what he says you can have, you say, uh-uh. It's like when, you know, you talk about, I try to be sweet to everybody. I really do. But you talk about Papa Bear coming out is when people trespass on my land. Oh, it makes me so mad. I remember one guy said, well, there wouldn't, we were watching a neighbor's land. And, he didn't want it posted, but still, you know, just because the land isn't posted doesn't mean you can just go on and do anything you want to it, you know. And this guy was fighting us up and down. Well, the land's not posted. I could do whatever. I said, you know, my house in Jamestown's not posted. But there would be a problem if you came with your family and put up a tent in my backyard. Well, it's not posted. Nothing makes me madder than trespassers. It just, especially when it's posted. I understand if someone wandered on the land, you'd be kind and they say, I didn't see the signs, there was no sign. But I love the ones that say, I never saw the signs, and every other tree's got a yellow sign on it. Yeah. Makes me just furious. Yeah. That's the way it ought to be when sickness and disease and poverty and depression and fear and anxiety and lack and all these things try to come on you. It's trespassing. Yeah. And you ought to not put up with it. And say, no, this don't belong here. Yeah. And I got authority to deal with it. Yeah. Gone are the days of waiting for Him to do something. Yeah. Here are the days of us standing up and taking our rightful place. Amen. And next week, just to whet your appetite, we're going to be looking at, starting off the service next week with a verse that says this. This will whet your appetite. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage over us. Now remember, the Satan that wants to get an advantage over you is the one that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. We're not talking about a little troublemaker trying to stub your toe. We're talking about trying to take you out. It says, lest Satan should get advantage of over us, we are not ignorant of his devices. Telling us that if we are ignorant of his devices, Satan will get an advantage of it. The only way he can get an advantage over us is if we don't know and we allow him. So next week we're going to look, because he's been stripped. He doesn't have any power. Listen, if he had the power, he would have taken us all out today. We wouldn't have had church where we talked about how we're going to whoop him and different things. He needs cooperation. He needs help. But we're not going to be a church that's ignorant of his devices, and he won't get an advantage over us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We are blessed. We're so thankful for everything you've given us, everything you've provided for us. Father, we thank you for the authority you've given us. Lord, it's not something we could earn. It's not something that we can work towards. Lord, just becoming a Christian gives us that position, Lord. Oh, we got the job of authority. Praise God. And Lord, we just give you the glory and the praise. Father, we're going to stand up and start using our authority. Start using our faith, Father. Getting the devil shooed out of our life. He doesn't have any place in us, Father. And Lord, we're going to start walking in the fullness of the victory that you have for us, Father. Full of faith, full of power, full of joy, full of peace, full of might. And Lord, we love you. We thank you. You're so kind to us to do this for us. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, please no looking around. Everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? I'll tell you what, some people say, I don't want to deal with that. But, you know, if you look in the obituaries, there's people that probably never ever really considered that in their life. And there comes a time where we're not here anymore if Jesus tarries. And I'll tell you, I like laying my head down at night knowing I'm going to heaven and not being afraid to die. Actually looking forward to it in the sense of it's better on that side. Praise God. So if you're here today and you could say, I don't know, Pastor, if I go to heaven. Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe Jesus died and rose again? If you believe Jesus died and rose again, you are a candidate and you're qualified for salvation. You don't have to become a member of the church. You don't have to give a certain amount of money. You don't have to make sure all that your church attendance has been perfect. If you believe in Jesus, the Bible says if you call on His name, you'll be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. We're not going to call you to the front or have you stand up or have you say anything on your own in your seat. This is between you and God. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, I would you just raise your hand. I'll have you put it right back down. Between you and God, nobody else. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Anybody want to receive Jesus, just quickly raise your hand, put it right back down. Anybody at all in this room? Father, I don't see any hands in this room, but Lord, there's people that might be listening by live stream now or in the future on an archive. Or there might be people that are just kind of shy to raise their hand. Well, raising your hand doesn't get you born again. But if you can say, you know what, I know that was me. I don't know if I'm going to heaven, but I sure would like to know. Just cry out to Jesus. If you're listening by live stream and you needed to pray this prayer, you just say, Lord, I love you. I believe in you. I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. Just cry out to him from your heart. The Bible says you will be saved. Father, we bless you this morning. We thank. Let's just give him praise for what we received. You know, what's rude is when somebody gets a gift and they don't say anything. It's happened to me a lot. I just don't understand it. Maybe it's how they were brought up. But where I'm brought up, where I'm from, that's rude. We were just given something wonderful from the Lord. Let's thank him for it. Thank you, Lord, for what we've received today. We don't count it something light. We don't count it as something little. We're thankful for it. We highly esteem it, Father. We give you the praise. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, before I close the service, who's having trouble with their stomach? Who's having trouble with their stomach? Come forward and get your hands. Come forward. Just dropped into my spirit. Hallelujah. We're going to pray and believe that thing, whatever that is, going to be gone. Why does God do stuff like this? Because He loves people. He loves people. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command that thing to go. We command complete wholeness and soundness in that stomach, Father. In Jesus' name. Courtney, come up here and place your hands on her belly. Hallelujah. We command that thing to go. Healing from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed. Hallelujah. You know, when God does something like that, it's not for a show. It's so she can be healed. Yeah. And we can all be blessed from it. Praise God. Well, let's just thank Him. Hallelujah. Lord, is there anything else? We just want to make sure. We just want to make sure, Father. We love you. We bless you this morning, Father. You're good to us. You're kind to us. Yeah. She's not the only one. Who else has the stomach problem? Come forward. Don't be shy. Don't miss this. I'm going to give people a chance here because the Lord just said she's not the only one. Who else is having problems with their stomach? Come forward. Come on forward, Luis. Praise God. God's good. This isn't for the purpose to embarrass people. He wants to help you. If the Holy Ghost says we're not done, we're not done. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come up. Come here. Stand right next to her, Luis. We stand side by side together. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command that to go. We say complete wholeness, soundness. Courtney, come up here. Lay hands on her stomach. In the name of Jesus, you go. You go. Heal, whole, soundness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command this thing to go. We say soundness, wholeness, peace for her, healing from head to toe in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we love you, Father. Anything else, Father? We love you so much. We glorify you. We glorify you. Yeah. Yeah, and when you get good reports on those things, make sure you share it with us so we can share it with the church and people can... Make sure you don't give the person laying the hands on any of the glory and the credit. I don't have any healing power at all. He's got it. And so we give Him the praise and glory. But we want to testify to those things because it builds our faith that God would do things like that. Hallelujah. Lord, we love You this morning. We're just so thankful for what You've done, for what You've given. Father, thank You for everything. Lord, I don't think there's anything else. It doesn't seem like there's anything else in my heart. And Father, the last thing we ever want to do is try to make something happen. So, Father, if that's it, we'll close the service. Anything else, Lord? Anything else at all? Father, who's been having headaches? Who's been having headaches? Come forward. There's someone else besides her, too. Who else has been having headaches? Come on forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just drops right into me. Struggling with headaches. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Glory to God. Yeah, see, why'd You minister to them differently? I don't know, the Holy Ghost told me to. Why'd Jesus get down on His knees and spit on the ground and rub mud in someone's eyes? I don't know, the Holy Ghost told Him to. Praise God. One time I had a girl that had, I don't know how much hearing was gone in her ear, and the Holy Spirit told me, stick your fingers in her ear and pop them out of her ears and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Why didn't He tell me just to touch her head? I don't know, but it worked. She got healed, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. See, when you continue to pray for utterance and pray for the gifts of the Spirit, this will become commonplace in our services. So I've never been in something like this. Well, welcome to church. This is church, praise God. This is church. This is to be a blessing to help people. Hallelujah. Praise. Michelle got blessed on Wednesday night. Praise God. You know, we were getting ready to pray for the service, and the Holy Ghost dropped in my heart problem, or something like that, I said out loud. And you had just found out some things about your heart, didn't you? Praise the Lord. And that thing's gone. We're just believing that thing's gone. Lord does that for a reason. He loves people. Loves people. So I think we're done, but let's see, Father, anything else, Lord, I don't want to just... We're so... Father, we're reverent about these things. We're so grateful, Father. We said we wanted the power of God in demonstration, not just enticing words of man's wisdom. Anything else, Father. Anything else, Father. We bless You this morning. 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 Problems in your eyes. It's coming up. Who's got problems in their eyes? You're having problems in your eyes. I don't just mean, you know, you have glasses. I mean you're having problems with your eyes right now. Don't miss it. Hallelujah. Don't miss it. Come forward. Praise God. Oh, He's so good to us. He's so good to us. Praise God. Jerry, what's going on in your eyes?
Well, I have double.
We're going to command that thing to go. And from this point on, you thank the Lord that you're healed. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, from the top of His head to the bottom of His feet, we command that to go. And we say, eyes, you have to hearken and obey the voice of the Word. We thank You. All things that have a name are healed. He heals all our diseases. Name above all names. I can't even say what He said, but I know it's a name and that it's Jesus and the power of healing is above that name. So we command it to go. We thank You. Vision, come back into Him. Perfect vision, come back into Him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You for being obedient, Jerry. Thank You for being obedient, Jerry. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Michelle. Praise the Lord. What's going on in your eyes, Michelle?
Oh, they're getting worse and worse.
Stop saying that. You start saying, from this point on, my eyes are getting better and better. In the name of Jesus, we command that thing to go. We command perfect vision to come back into her. A testimony of eyesight being restored unto her. For our Jesus healed the blind, didn't He? And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But see, this will help you. He's not here. He's not here to lay hands on people. The body is. Praise God. Say, this is weird to me. No, this is church. This is help. Praise God. Say, why do some people fall and some people don't? Don't worry about the falling. In the Bible, we see cases of people when the power of God hit them, they fell. It's happened to me. It's other times I've had hands laid on me, and I didn't go down. That's not the important part. The important part is that healing was ministered to them. Praise God. Wow, this is... You know what happened is I didn't preach so long today, and God said, "Ooh, I got time to do stuff." Pastor finally shut his mouth. Praise God. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you, Father. Lord, we just love you. Let's worship Him. We worship you, Lord. We love you so much. We glorify you. We magnify you. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for healing. We praise you this morning. We praise you this morning. We bless your name. Now, for those of you that had hands laid on you, what you do from here, whether or not it changed when I laid hands on you or not, you go out of here and you say, I thank you. Sunday, March 8th, I was healed. I was prayed for by whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, believe you receive it. And you just thank the Lord. Thank you, Father, for my healing. Thank you, Father, for my healing. Thank you, Father, for my healing. That even if the symptoms kick up even stronger, remember, before they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, it was already hot. The devil said, I'm going to turn it up 7 times. Didn't faze them. Didn't faze them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We bless you. Dana, will you come forward? Dana, I want to pray for your leg. Praise God. You didn't kick one of your brothers, did you? He didn't answer. Did you kick one of your brothers? Oh, okay, a few. I didn't know if we were going to have to pray for you to be forgiven, too. Hallelujah. Yeah, we'll have you just sit right down in the chair and we'll pray for you. He just came on my heart. You know, there's supernatural healing. You know, the doctor can tell you one thing, and doctor's reports can tell you one thing. But how many of you know we have a different report in our Father? He needs your cooperation. But from this point on, you walk out of here and say, I thank you. I'm quickest healing. The doctors are going to be amazed at the progress I'm making, okay? Bible says, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. But we don't have to recover like the world and take as long as the world. You believe Him for supernatural, speedy recovery. Because that's what I'm going to pray for. And God answers my prayers, but He needs your help too, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for a supernatural recovery. That'll be a testimony to the doctors, any therapist that he has to go to, physical therapy, any nurses. They'll say, I've never seen a leg heal like this before. We thank you, Father, for supernatural healing, a speedy recovery in Jesus' name. Amen. And as they start to say things and then wonder about everything that happened, you make sure to share it with me and I'll share it with the people. Okay? Awesome. Praise God. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for everything. I'm humbled by what you do, Lord, and how much you love people. Oh, we just praise you, Lord. Just worship Him this morning. Thank you, Lord. We just love you. We love you, Lord. We just praise you. Just love you so much. So good to us. So kind to us. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for everything you've done. You get a bad rap a lot of times, Father, but you're good. You're wonderful. You're kind. You're good and you're wonderful and you're kind. We have a lot of young people in here. Let me just say this to you in your seats. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. God's way is best. Yeah, young people, I'm talking to you. I wish I had somebody tell me when I was young and struggling and had those thoughts of depression and that life was hopeless. God's way is the best. It will bring you the best, the most peace, the most joy, the most prosperity, the most health. You'll meet the right person. You'll have a marriage of heaven on earth someday. Yes, yes, yes. God's way is the best. And there, yes, 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 Lord. Oh, into nusunda ma in descendo, otoma into sunda nubashi into posto pola marteneto unda lovonta nema into ku e prashti into dusto numate nemesto ko ya bandalate no sonto no no mo to. And even on the young people, some of the young people in this church, there's a tug. There's a struggle. The devil's desperately trying to pull you over into his kingdom. For a few reasons. He knows that will be your destruction and your downfall, but also he knows the potential that you have to be a world changer. So from this day forward, that tug to go in the way of the world, that tug to go the way of the enemy, that tug to go away from God, put a stop to it. I see in my spirit like scissors. Cut that loose. Cut that off. And leave that behind and go God's way. For God's way is bright, God's way is wonderful, and God's way is full of peace. In Jesus' name. Father, we love you. Just worship Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the move of the Spirit. That's what we've been praying for. We said we were going to be a Spirit church. Word and Spirit. Word and Spirit. You know, if you come from a religious place, this might be awfully weird. You might say, I don't like when they do that. Well, you know what? Ask the people that get the hands laid on them and get the healing if they like it.
Yeah.
They like it.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Anything else, Father? Just bless you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Master. Spirit just said we're done. Father, we love you so much. We glorify you. Thank you for the move of the Spirit. Thank you for everything you imparted to us. Lord, we're so blessed. The message would have been enough. But Father, you're good to us to help us. So Lord, we praise you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Don't forget, no Wednesday service this week, but we'll see you back here Sunday, 10 o'clock. Have a blessed week. We'll see you then.